Okay. Hello, everyone. So Barnes has asked Dylan and myself to tag team a little bit on our testimonies, because not a lot of people know where we come from. You know, more probably know more about Dylan than me. So I'm going to talk about the old me, the changes, and the new me, but I'm going to PG it, because there's no kids tool, especially in the past. So my life before we got saved, or even before I met Dylan, was about alcohol, parties, boys. What was life? That was life. Planning the next party, planning where you're going, what alcohol you need for the weekend. And you wake up on Monday morning and went, okay, that was the weekend. I was selfish. It was all about me. I thought one night stands equaled love. PG, I'm not going to go into more detail on that. I had to grab very fast. My dad left. My dad was always in and out of our life. He wasn't an alcoholic. But if something had a skirt on, he would probably chase it and left mom and I, like, as early as I can remember. In standard 8, what's that, grade 10, my dad left to come to Cape Town with a woman. My parents were old parents, so I think she was like in her 50s odd. From a housewife, suddenly had to find a job. I had to start working to finance stuff in the family. I grew up in East London. I got a job in Pick and Pay, East London, as a cashier, and I started running the finances of the house because my mom was just busy working and trying to cope with my dad. I was very independent. I had a lot of illegitimate responsibilities, which made me very hard. My mom eventually bought me like a little moped scooter thing, which really added to my independence. And she didn't really know where I was half the time or what I did. She'd probably turn in her grave now if she actually knew half the stuff that I did do. Sorry, Mom. Mama, I was one of those kids that my mom always said to me, if the day you finish matric, I'm going back to your dad. It's because of you. So I grew up with that over my head the whole time. I finished matric on the 19th of November. 23rd of November, my mother announced to me, I'm leaving, I'm coming to Cape Town to your dad. I'm just out of matric. I had to find a place to live. I didn't have anywhere to live. I had to find a flat. I had to find a permanent job. So at the age of 17, I moved into my own little flat with my dog. And it wasn't easy. It was quite hard. I had no car. I had to walk to work, which in East London was quite far. It was about 45 minutes each way. In this time, I learned about silent treatment, and silent treatment became a coping mechanism for me. If you hurt me, I don't need to talk to you. I don't need to deal with you. Wasn't right. When we got married, I had to undo that very fast. So life was one big party, something that I'm not very proud of. I actually got caught for drunken driving, spent a night in jail, and just carried on life. Very long story, I moved to Cape Town. I met Dylan at 2 o'clock in the morning in a pub in Tableview, as drunk as skunks. and we've never been apart. It wasn't easy. So that's my past. I'm not going to dwell too much into the past because I really want to move into the future and into the changes. So Dylan and I met. It was a very unhealthy, rocky relationship. We needed a pastor to marry us. A very long story is how we landed up in Josh Jen. We got saved. Our lives changed. We stopped swearing immediately. We stopped drinking immediately. Smoking took a bit longer. And I always say it's a new heart and a new start. It wasn't easy, but I knew I had to change because my life before was useless. It was drinking, partying, everything. I didn't do loads of drugs. I was scared of them, which maybe was a good thing. But I also had to take hold of somebody's hand, and I had to walk with them because my life was a mess, and this is called accountability. I needed to change my heart. I needed to change my ideas. I had to make the effort to reach out. people enveloped me, but I was the one who had to reach out. I was the one who had to make a phone call to Jenny and go, Jenny, I need you. I had to build that bridge. Jesus became my friend, and I had to learn very quickly is, how do you want to be treated as a friend? And that is how I wanted Jesus to treat me, and I wanted to be treated. So I had to make time to spend with him. I had to listen to him. I had to pick up my phone. Like Dylan and I had a joke in those early days. I had a thing. It was 0800 God. And I used to sales rep, and I used to put my headphones in. 0800 God. And God. And I used to carry on in the car. And I used to have conversations with him and tell him everything. I had to learn about him. What does he like? What doesn't he like? Is what I'm doing now making Jesus' heart happy? Or is it making his heart sad? And if it's making his heart sad, we'll change. Because actually, I want to make Jesus' heart happy. I had to surround myself with new friends, godly friends. They're non-negotiables in our life as well. Community, church. At that time, we dived into everything that God had, everything that was going on in Josh Jen. Gatherings, socials. We were the only married couple that went to the young adults because we just wanted to go anywhere and everywhere where Jesus was. I was still smoking early when we got saved, and I had a bit of attitude, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, I'm going to light the cigarette, but if you really don't want me to smoke, you're going to send a lightning bolt. And so every time I lit a cigarette, I'm like, oh, God, what's going to happen now? And I think, 2 months into being saved, Andrew called Dylan and I said, I need to see you guys. You're like, oh, Hat, what have we done? Like, we're new Christians. And he said to me, I'd like you to be the church secretary, but there's one problem. Are you still smoking? I'm like, yeah. And as he said it, I knew that that was my lightning bolt. And I never smoked. I haven't touched a cigarette since. I chucked them, got in the car, chucked them away. And God just, moved. So the new me, like I said, I threw myself into church. I threw myself into friends and people that I could walk in accountability. Russell and Jenny, Julia Milani were those early people that that really took us under their wings after we got married and stuff. And, you know, for example, Julie, she calls me Nola, and Dylan and I were in the kitchen the one day, and I turned to him and I said, can you stop shouting at me, please? Like, every time you speak to me, lady, you're just shouting at me. And Julie turned to me, she goes, Nola, he's not shouting at you. You're actually seeing him shouting at you through your brokenness. And it was just people like that that actually could, we allowed them to speak into our life. We allowed them to bring the corrections because we grew that relationship with them. My life before was empty. It was meaningless. I had to trust God in everything, even not falling pregnant. And we tried for, 14 years to fall pregnant, and it just didn't happen. But I had to trust that God knew what he was doing because he had Kylie waiting for us. And now we've got the most beautiful daughter. But in that time, I had to have an emergency hysterectomy. And afterwards, the gynae said to me, you know, there was a problem with your womb and whatever. You would never, ever have actually carried a baby to full term. So God knew that. And we couldn't fall pregnant, even though we're trusting him. But he saved me through a whole lot of heartache, or us, through a whole lot of heartache and miscarriages and whatever. So we had to trust, because God knows what he is doing. I had to exercise my faith, 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. It says, about physical training. I had to physical train in the new ways. What does God want? What has God got for us? Spend time in the Word. Speak to God. Make friends with him. Go to community. Go to church. Even though Dylan and I would probably have the biggest fight on the way to church, and you walk in and go, hi. Meantime, it's like, oh, look at you. You're wishing. But God had to change things in us because we wanted to be more like him. We wanted to walk in what he had for us. And, you know, a loving family gives us strength and comfort and the courage to face life's challenges. And it doesn't always have to be blood-related family. It's your church family and the people that God has actually put around you. So yeah, that's me. And yeah, the old is gone, the new is here.
Isn't that chick amazing, eh? Sure. To think I hated her at one stage and now I love her more than anything else. So just while she was sharing, to be honest with you, I prepared a whole thing to share this morning and God just said, stop. He wants me to speak from my heart this morning and I'm actually feeling emotional just listening to my wife's. Sure. Sorry, man. God has done a lot and it's quite a lot to take it when you hear it. Like when you hear what God has done. And this morning I want to trust that this is going to do something in your life this morning. The first thing I felt was, the one thing I was reminded of, for the first 3 months of our marriage, we hated each other. Like, I'm not even joking. We went to Russell and Jenny, I told her I married Satan's daughter, and she said, I married Satan. Those were the words, the exact words. God's made a mistake. Like, we were sit around this round table in their house, we would rock up there like basically 2 times a week with these lists of all the things that we had against each other. And it was so horrible because you would come with this massive list that you made about your wife's problems. And then you'd show Russell and you'd say, those are your problems, those aren't your wife's problems. But this is all the things that you need to deal with, that's something in you. And you realize that how selfish you are before. And what we were feeling just with what's happening in the church at the moment, a lot of people are getting saved. And the thing we felt was this, what now? What now that you're saved? What are the things that God's going to do in your life? What do you need to focus on? And so she pointed a few of them out. Because before you were saved, you were separated from God. You were spiritually dead. Slaves to sin. But after salvation, now that you're part of God, and if you're not this morning and you're going to get an opportunity just now to join this amazing, incredible family that God changed your life, make people like stupid as us into people that love God and will do anything that He's asked us to do now. And there's this one phrase that I felt this morning that I always wanted when I was growing up. I wanted to be a good person. The sad part about that is good people don't go to heaven. All the good things you do doesn't get you into heaven. It's a decision you make that you say, God, because He's paid the price. I can't do the good stuff. I can't be the person that does, if I do all these great deeds, feed the poor, but I have not love because I haven't invited Jesus in my heart. I've got nothing. So that was, and it's this. You realize you're trying to be good the whole time in your life, and you know what you do? You search everywhere around. And I searched in all kinds of things. Drugs, I did drugs. Aileen didn't do drugs. I did so many drugs. I actually started dealing in drugs. And I did all the stupid stuff. As many things as I could do, as stupid as possible. And when I realized what I was doing, I was actually searching the whole time. I was trying to fill something that was empty inside me. And the more I did it, while I was doing it, you forget about it because you're just stupid and you're stoned off your brain. But when you wake up in the morning and you're by yourself again and you feel this depression hit you and you feel like, what am I doing? Why have I done this? It's kind of like when you sin. Even as a Christian, you sin and then you feel, oh, I feel so much guilt because I've done this, and you ask for forgiveness and you still wonder why you're sitting in guilt. And there was this hole. And the only thing that could fill this hole was Jesus. I didn't know that. The day I put up my hand, so I got saved. I'm lucky I got radically saved. I put up my hand. I was doing drugs. The first 2 times I came to Joshua Generation Church, disclaimer, I was stoned. I thought everybody was whacked. All these guys facing the wall, and I'm like, what are they, what's going on there? Are they worshiping the band? But of course I was reading it through a stoned person. The first time I came sober, it felt like God was speaking right to me. I was sitting in the thing, I was just like, oh my goodness, I felt the weight of my sin. I felt the weight of my stuff that I've done. And then they said, this guy, Jesus, by me just making the decision, can take that away from me. And I was like, what? Impossible. Never, ever. But you know what? He did. In one moment, I put my hand up. I came to the front. I cried like a baby. I haven't cried for years because my mom and dad got divorced. And I was the only man in the house, and I had three sisters. So I refused to cry or show emotion because I had to be the strong guy. And then I met the person who is actually the strong guy in my life. It's Jesus. I was never strong enough to do any of the stuff I needed to do without him. But when he came in, I realized, wow, this is what I've been looking for the whole time. In stupid places. Thought I'd find it in drugs, thought I'd find it in alcohol, found it in women, thought I'd find it in being the best at whatever you could be the best at. Empty, empty, empty. Jesus comes, wow. And it's kind of like when you see something that's for free and you don't believe it. Oh, it's too good to be true. This is a scam. You need to stay away from this. But there's people sitting in this room, and I tell you this, every time one puts their hand up and says, I want to get saved, I watch their life every time, and I watch there's a real God. Because I see a person's life changed. So from where they were broken into something beautiful. And they get used, and they make a difference in people's lives. They feed poor people. They put their lives on hold for whatever else they were doing. They don't care about what their life means to them, even unto death. And this morning, you're going to have this chance to go, if you haven't done this before, to go, God, I want to do that. I don't want to feel empty anymore. I want to be that person that's broken inside. Is that good so far? Could I just grab some water from my mouth? Emotion dries up, my tears dry up my mouth. So after salvation, we're made spiritually whole and alive. And the one thing I realized, and I use this example, but it's actually quite funny. So there used to be some guys who were homeless where I used to work in town. And so what we used to do, we were a media company called Hertz & Carter. And we used to get all this stuff from ShopRite that we used to take pack shots of and then obviously advertise it on the ShopRite, like on whatever they were printing. They used to print those big ShopRite things, all the specials. And we used to get all these pump water guns, those big ones, the massive ones. And we would spray these oaks down at where we were at work. And we thought this was the biggest joke and felt nothing for them, you know. Then I got saved. And I remember walking to work and seeing the guy lying there, and suddenly I had compassion in my heart for him. And I was like, what is going on? So what now? God's going to live inside you. You're going to have compassion for people like you've never had before. You're going to have love for people that you're not going to understand. You don't even know how to deal with some of the emotions that are going on in you because something in you is changing. So what do you need to do? Like Nalene said, first of all, find somebody who can walk with you. One thing that we walk with Russell and Jenny a long time, and we're still walking with them today. I'll ask Russ, like, he said, oh, you're one of the best. And I said, what did I do? He said, everything I told you to do, you did. And he asked me why, and I said, well, everything I did before that was so stupid. I thought I couldn't trust myself to do anything right anymore. So he would say, like, eventually, like, I'd ask, like, hey, have you heard that thing? Like, God, da-da-da, what tie should I wear today? He says, I'm your father, not your mother. Make your own decision on that one, you know? So sometimes we got to trust God, like, not people anymore. But in the beginning, you need to walk alongside because the one thing the Bible says, we need to be good disciples. And so we need to walk with people. And we need to tell them, oh, and when you're going through a time of pain or hurt and you don't know how to deal with it, come to those guys who you can walk with. Tell them what's going on in your heart. Because that's the thing that's going to actually break open. So that accountability thing, it sounds like control when you hear it through brokenness. Because that's what you feel when you're broken. And I used to hate it, I tell you. Nalene used to come, and then I'd get a call. Hey, Dylan, it's Russell. I'm like, oh, no. Nalene's been to Jenny. I'm in trouble again. What have I done? And truth is, I was in trouble. I knew I probably was in trouble because we fought a lot in the beginning, as you heard. But then I'd meet with him, and he would speak me through stuff, and I'd tell him what was going on, and he would tell me what Jesus would do. Not what would make me feel better. What is God's plan for your life? So the second thing is you got to do is actually, what is God's plan for your life? We're going to be living for Christ now. It's the very scary thing for me when I first got saved. It's like, Jesus is living in me. He's with you all the time. Oh no. You know, like when you're like, and I stopped swearing from being a foul-mouthed person. So that's one thing I've never had to, but everything else I've done wrong, trust me. I've thought of swear words in my head, but everything else I've actually done, like completely wrong. Oh God, I'm so sorry. But Christ is in you. You know what that means for us? And we sometimes get this wrong. Is that we suddenly have to separate ourselves when we sin from God. But we can't because He's inside us. He's just hurt. He's hurting. Just like you hurt Him. And so we're not separated from Him in that moment. We just got to repent and come back. And so you've got to go, God, forgive me. Please take me back. And repentance is a beautiful thing because what it does in your heart is makes something in you twist. Like, you were like, and now it's like, oh, hurt God. And it's not a bad, I think it's a bad thing, but it's not a bad thing because God uses all things for the good of those who love Him. Even the pain that you put yourself through and Jesus. Because I think it's painful for Him to be with you when you're sinning. Like, I don't know what He does. Does He turn? Like, He lives in you. So be very careful about how you walk this thing out. And then if you do mess up, go to somebody and get help. So what do you do now if you're getting saved? So if you just got saved, what do you do? And like I said, get somebody to help you make some decisions then about your life, about what you'll do, where you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to be doing this. Not so they can control you, because all your decisions you've made up until that point was terrible. I know mine were. Everything I did before was completely stupid. And I thought, and then I sometimes have to say this to people that I'm walking with. I'm like, and how did that work out for you? Because they try and justify their standpoint sometimes when they're trying to make a point about, oh, but I made this decision. And I said, but you didn't listen to me. I told you this was the best thing in God to do. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I said, okay, well, how did that work out? And most times, pretty badly. You know what God loves above everything else? Attendance and obedience. Be there, and He'll use you. Make yourself available, man. Come to things like this. Come to church. Go to home groups. Hang out within each other's homes. And don't just hang out and have bras. Hang out and ask God, what do you want to say to these people? You know what a privilege it is when God suddenly drops something in your heart for somebody in a house that you're with, and you go, I feel God saying this, 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 and this, and this, and they go, and you think, you can't say, oh, I was so clever, because God told me. So I knew nothing until He told me that point. But we have this privilege. If we put ourselves in a place where something in somebody's heart will change because the Spirit of God inside me speaks through me, and we can be witnesses of what God does. So be witnesses. So now what happens now after you get? Well, the first thing, if you've just given your life and you're saved now, trust me, get baptized. It's the best thing to do. I don't know what it is about baptism, but something inside, I used to love this picture. When Jesus got baptized, the spirit of a dove descended upon Him. And I was like, I didn't have that. Why not? I was like, because Jesus was without sin at that moment. He hadn't sinned. I was getting redeemed of sin. I had to die. Like I had to, like some of the dead people in my body had to go away that I didn't want. And you're putting them into a watery grave, and you're coming out and you're making a statement to all those who witness it that I'm alive in Christ, and I'm making a statement against those things that were against me before. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers of this world. This is your first step to it. Start reading the Bible, man. Come on. You know how many times I've used this excuse? Every time I read the Bible, I just want to fall asleep. That's why I don't read the Bible so much anymore. That's just stupid. I'm sorry. I don't care how you get it in. Listen to it. Eat it. Get it in. Whatever you need to do to hear what God's doing and who He is in your life, the more you know Him, the more you're able to share Him with others. If you don't know Him and what He does and what He stands for and the beautiful things about Him, if you don't feed yourself on the Word of God, how do you have love? You don't understand how the sacrifices He made for you. You don't have love in your heart. You need to get it in. Is that cool? Everybody okay? Pray regularly. Now we've been nailing this on us, and so I think as a church we're good prayers, but we're not good prayer people together. We don't pray together as much, and so it's good that you pray. And this is my one rule about prayer. Hi guys, what's up? Hi guys, no. About my sister's in the hospital. Can you pray? Pray hands. That's not prayer. Two little hands that you send on an emoji is not actually prayer. And what I do every time I receive those, I stop and I do the prayer right then. So I've done it. Lord, would you be with Susie in hospital right now? Lord God, would you work miraculously through her? So pray regularly. Make every time somebody, and when God puts somebody on your heart, stop your car, man, and phone them. Or stop whatever you're doing. Just give them a call. Say, hey, God, just put me in your heart. Is everything okay? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You want to hear Him? You're hearing Him all the time. You're just not realizing it. Speak to those guys. Join a comm group. Best thing ever. This is, you can't really chat to me while I'm standing at the front here talking to you, can you? But in a comm group where we're sitting around a table, talking, discussing, or in a lounge, having a little bit of worship, we have a voice. And we can ask questions about what Jesus is doing in our lives or what we're confused about. And we can have a conversation and build relationship. Oh, what? Turn away from sin. And I say this, I want this, like, sometimes I feel like saying this as well, and I know this. Turn away from some of your opinions as well. Because I think some of your opinions are sinful. Your standpoint about, even about doctrine in church or about doctrine in the Bible, we love it that you have a different opinion. Don't push your opinion on anybody else, though. If God's brought revelation to you about a certain thing, you live that thing yourself. Don't make other people live because they don't have the same revelation. This God is a relationship God. He talks to each one of us differently. And He's not going to talk to you the same as He talks to me. So don't, what God's told me to do, I have to do that. I don't have to, I'm not going to make you do that. That's not how God works. If He tells me to tell you, I'll tell you. You know, I think you should, Jason, you should stop working on your cell phone while I'm preaching. I'm just teasing. Don't mute me, please. So turn away from your sin. And that's, it's not always about like the actual deed of sin, but sometimes your thoughts. Sometimes your heart attitude towards people in this church, to your family, to those who have hurt you. That becomes sin, eh? Because unforgiveness creeps in, then it's repentance, and then you've got a whole lot of issues to deal with. Put that stuff down. Deal with it quickly. Tell others about Jesus. It's a beautiful thing, that. I could ask God for this, because I remember I got saved, and all I wanted to do to tell everybody about Jesus, and they hated me. You didn't come Bible bash me, but I didn't care. I was like, Jesus loves me. You can't believe I met the person where my heart was empty before, and now He's filled me. And I was like, you gung-ho. And then suddenly it just dies down. Now I feel like, I feel a bit awkward talking about Jesus to people now, because now it's... And I want to pray this. God, would you awaken that in us again? That we would be excited about your heart and your love for people like you were for us, because you did everything to get my heart. So go for it, man. Tell people about Jesus. You're not sitting here because you believe Jesus is not doesn't exist. Or maybe you do. And maybe he has to reveal himself real to you. But actually, we're here because we believe God lives. And he died for our sins. And that we can come into the fullness of what he's got for us. And grow in the fruits of the Spirit. So I shared this morning. It's a beautiful picture that I think Maritza shared it. It was a post that said, we plant seeds. God works on hearts. Don't mix up your roles. And it's such a, like, when I read it, I was like, yo, it's kind of like, how many times we try and make that seed grow? Let's put water on it. Gotta get going. Wow, Jesus, can't you hear Jesus? Let's go, bro. Like, I'm praying for you. Lay hands. I gotta, thinking that I have some kind of power in my little stupid body that I can do what God does. Plant the seed. Let God do the work. If it doesn't work, it's not your fault. It's God's dealing with that or something in their people's hearts. Don't give up on planting seeds. So I want to read Colossians 3 from 1 to 4. And this is kind of like a statement for us, all of us. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Because how quickly do we take our eyes off what's above? Oh, my work, I'm not getting paid. Situation's good. My wife's not talking to me. Like what? And we get introspective. So what we do is we start staring inward. It's called navel gazing. Oh, my life. And all God wants you to do is, I trust you. And I think this morning, God wants to do that for a lot of you this morning. Look up and say, God, I trust you. Again. No matter what your situation is, whatever you're trusting for in God, God, I trust you again. And then take your eyes off the things around you. That doesn't mean sit back and wait for God to do stuff. Actually do what you need to do. So do your bit, God will do his bit. The one thing we do, and I don't know why I'm even saying this because it wasn't part of what I'm saying, but don't be lazy. Don't sit around and wait for God to break open things when you're not doing anything. Get on your knees, pray, trust, but go out and trust him to do the things he's going to do in your life. Don't sit back. So, what's next? Next is you guys just allowing God to work in you. You plant the seeds, allow God to do whatever he has to do. Can we stand? Why don't we close ours? Lord, I want to thank you for today. Thank you for the work that you've done in so many of these lives here, Lord God, today. That, Lord, it's by your might and by your spirit that we are changed, Lord God. Nothing that we've done, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to pray right now, as I'm standing here, Lord God, that your spirit would start to touch people's hearts right now, across this room, that you would well up in them again, Lord God, that they would know that you are alive in them. Lord God, would you start to set fires again in people's lives, Lord God, that they would be able to become tools in your hands. Would you blow right now, Holy Spirit, across this place and set fires everybody's hearts again, Lord God, for loving you again. And then the other people are this. Lord, we want to pray for those who have never met you, Lord God, who were like me once, broken, hurt, seeking for the pleasures of this world and never finding true peace, Lord God, because you are the true peace giver. And Lord, you've given your life for us that we can come and walk into the fullness that you've got for us. So Lord, would you start to touch those hearts right now, Lord God? Would you draw men to you and women, Lord God? And if that's you this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus, why don't you just quickly pop up your hand so I can see who it is, so I can know I'm praying for? Anyone here who wants to give their heart to Jesus for the first time? I'm going to give it a little bit of time because I feel like God's working on someone's heart here. So if you're feeling that heart's pounding in your chest, that's God calling you to Him. That's not me calling you, that's God. So if that's you, why don't you just quickly pop up your hand? Okay. So I'm hoping everybody is saved, yeah. Then the second group is this that I felt for, and this is for guys who've drifted. You've done so much wrong in your walk with Christ that your heart's almost gone cold, that you almost feel like, is God actually alive in me? When I was talking about it, it was almost foreign to you. And I feel like God's calling you back this morning. And so even if you're a little bit unsure about this, I think you should put your hand up. So if that's you, why don't you pop up your hand quickly? You want to just make a recommitment to God this morning and say, God, I want to come back. I've just drifted away. Is there anyone here? Okay, beautiful. Everybody's good. Just make sure. Then the last one is this. I feel like God wants to touch marriages this morning. When my wife was talking, I felt like even before that, I was chatting to Warren, I said, yes, I feel like God wants to touch people's marriages again. And let me tell you how proud I am of her now, of who she's become, the person she is in my life, like what she means to me. It's incredible. Like, I can still remember like screaming and shouting at each other on the way to Russell and Jenny in the car. And luckily, never swearing at those points, because when we were unsaved, we swore at each other a lot. But I know that's how I knew God took swearing away from me, was the first time you kick your toe and you go, oh, phew. And you know, God's obviously done something really serious in your heart, because normally you would just like, but there's, and I'm using that example because if there's tension between us, I can't do what I need to do, and she can't do what she needs to do in God. And I feel like God wants to start restoring stuff in certain marriages this morning. So I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands, but I would like you, if you are married, to find your spouse, put your arm around them. We're going to pray for you. I'll find mine. And then why not?
As Dylan's been talking, I've also been feeling there's a lot of people here who, because what I did is I took on self-pity, and self-pity became quite a good friend of mine, and, you know, it's like it became a woe is me, and it was easy to go into self-pity to get attention. And I'm also feeling a lot of people, almost you're in that self-pity, and your self-pity is giving attention. And you almost make your situation worse so that people will look at you for the attention.
Okay, so we'll do that next. But let's do marriages. Okay, so if you're planning to get married soon, or you're here with your fiance, you can join in as well. Okay, because this is for, and you're sure you're going to get married. If you're not sure, then no. Sorry, I'm being naughty. God has a sense of humor. Okay. So Lord, I want to pray right now, Lord God, for every single marriage in this place, Lord God. That God, you say it's like a picture of your church, Lord God. That you're coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And Lord, we know we're not that yet. As a church, or even as husbands and wives yet, Lord God. But would you come and help us put this thing together just as you've called us to, Lord God. Lord, would you help the husbands to love their wives like you love the church? And we help the wives to submit to their husbands and just work with them, Lord God, that they are not two different people, Lord God, because you say when you join us together, we become one. And Lord, I want to pray this morning that they would feel the oneness of you in their marriages, Lord God. Would you allow them to drop the walls that they've put up in their hearts, Lord God, even to each other, Lord God. Would you start to restore just areas of romance again, Lord God, and just love for one another again, Lord God, that you would break down the walls that have been put up just from arguments or misunderstandings or maybe not even misunderstandings, from previous hurts, Lord God. Would you tear those down by your Spirit right now? In Jesus' name. Amen. Then, self-pity. Okay, that was a big one, so my wife threw that in there. But I know I said the last one, but I think it is something that there's these, and unfortunately it happens with ladies a lot. So there's three little things that happen. Self-pity, self-hatred, and I can't remember the last one, but it's almost like self-harm is the other one, where you want to hurt yourself because you think that's going to make you feel better. So you do something, either cut yourself, or you just beat yourself up with verbal abuse. That's how you harm yourself. So you say you're not good enough, you start telling yourself all these things. So I want you all to just close your eyes quickly. And this might not just be for ladies, but I know most of the time it is for ladies, where you can't seem to see that you are God's daughter. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to pop your hand up quickly and pop it down. The reason I'm saying I want you to put your hand up because I want you to be, and everybody else's eyes closed. So nobody has to see this except, cool, thank you, put it down quickly. Thank you, put it down. Thank you. And if you still want it, I'm going to pray for generally, but I feel like as you put your hand up, God's going to deal with you, but you have to respond. There's this thing about God and responses. So I'm going to give you a little bit more time because I think there's a couple more people. Pop your hand up quickly and put it down. Thank you. Okay. Now that you've responded, I want you to do this. I want you to, and this is, I'm going to show you, so look at me because it's graphic, and sometimes you forget how, and I use this graphic picture. If I've ever prayed for you and you've been touched by the Holy Spirit when I pray for you, this is why I do this. I want you to see yourself pulling your chest open and exposing your heart. What that does is allows you to pull down the walls in your heart. And then I want you to close your eyes again in that position. And I want to say this, Holy Spirit, come. Restore. In Jesus' name. Every part of their brokenness, Lord God, would you restore it right now? Would you tear down the walls? Would you allow your presence to fill them afresh in everything, Lord God? Take away that self-hatred, that self-pity, that self-harm, Lord God. That you restore daughters and sons back to your kingdom, Lord God, in every area. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I hope that touched your heart. I hope my crying didn't turn you off too much. I cry a lot. If you want to see somebody crying, I cry at everything lately. But it's because Jesus has taken a hard soul and softened it. So let's just put close. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your blessings in our lives, Lord God. Thank you that you never give up on us. Lord, I pray that you would fill everybody in this room with a fresh revelation of who you are. Let us be those who go out into the world and share about you. Let your name be great in our lives. Let us plant the seeds. And will you speak into people's hearts? In Jesus' name. Amen.